It's Friday, August 21st, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Everyone got a great show lined up for you. A lot of stuff to cover tonight, so strap in. Here it comes.
This is the Geek News Central podcast, part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. So grab a cup of coffee, take a seat, and crank up that volume, because you're listening to Todd on the Geek News Central podcast.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Oahu. Hey, I want to welcome everyone to the show. I want to welcome all of our longtime listeners, those of you that are part of the Ohana. Of course, I want to welcome all of you that are checking out the show as well via the live stream on Ustream tonight. Getting started just a little bit earlier this evening in my recording. And of course, I want to welcome the listeners from the 155 countries worldwide that tune into the show. Thank you for being part of the podcast. I want to remind all of you to make sure you get subscribed. You can do that by going over to geeknewscentral.com. You'll find a link there to either iTunes, Zune Marketplace, or you can just use the the standard RSS feed to subscribe with your favorite podcatcher. Of course, if you have a mobile device, you'll find Geek News Central really listening under most mobile apps as Geek News Central. Just search for it, subscribe to it, and get your shows downloaded that way. Of course, if you sign up for our newsletter, you'll get the show notes delivered directly to your inbox immediately following the show. The show notes contain everything that I'm going to talk about today during the podcast, including listener-submitted links. That will really get you in tune on what's happening in each and every show. Lots of stuff is covered here each and every podcast, recorded every Tuesday and every Monday and Thursday night, then released Tuesday and Friday morning. Of course, those of you that are on Ustream, you may be tuning in from the different parts of the world. So whatever time you're listening, whether it be live or the recorded show, I want to thank you for being part of the Ohana here and being part of the family. Okay, first up, I guess I want to just mention here, today is Hawaii's 50th anniversary of being a state. 50 years ago today, Hawaii was invited by the, made a state by the United States Congress. And so there's big celebrations planned for Hawaii tomorrow here in all of the different islands, different types of events, commemorations, speeches, fireworks, you name it. So 50 years for the 50th state of the United States. So, that kind of reminds me of a story one time. I have to tell you this just kind of as a side note. And I've told this on the show before, but I was, I fly frequently back and forth between here and the lower 48. And I was on a flight coming back, and I think it was in Chicago, and I was actually up in first class. And I had upgraded, and I had a gal that was sitting beside me, and her and I were talking about Hawaii, and this was her first trip out. And, we're having this nice conversation, and she goes, by the way, she says, what, in a very straight face, she asked me, what kind of money do they use there in Hawaii? And I'm like, well, what kind of money? She goes, yeah, am I going to have to exchange my money when I get there? And so, with a very straight face, I said, oh, yeah, when you get to Hawaii, don't worry. You can go to the money exchange and you can exchange your dollars for yen. And of course, yen is the Japanese currency. Oh, okay. And I was really appalled, first of all, that this individual would not know that we use green dollars here. It has the United States seal on it. So I didn't say nothing. I just kept my mouth shut. But when we got to luggage claim, the gal, I could see she had gotten clued in and was giving me a very dirty look from across the luggage carrier. But, I'm sorry. You're going to go visit one of the states of the United States and you're going to ask me what kind of money we use here? Oh, so it was very, very, very funny on my part, but a little small victory. This morning got up very, very early. I've been up since really, well, now going on about how many hours? 18 hours, I guess, right now. Had to get up very early for a video teleconference this morning that lasts a couple of hours. Lots of stuff that's going on with my visit out to California. So that was productive this morning. And then, of course, I'm trying to get some plans together on where we're going to have our meetup when I get out to San Jose and to Mountain View, that area. So I haven't picked a place yet. I'm going to have to do that and get the word out. Otherwise, it's just going to be too late to get something organized. But if you are in that area, maybe you can give me a suggestion, someplace we can meet up and hang out, have some dinner, socialize and talk. If you've got a suggestion, drop me a line. I'm going to definitely pick something up. Then I'll be putting something up on the website at geeknewscentral.com. And of course, I'll be tweeting about it as well. I know there's a number of Ohana that's there next week. So it's either going to be Tuesday or Wednesday of next week. Of course, I get on an airplane Sunday night and fly out to California. So look forward to being out there for 3 or 4 days. Probably the show on Monday will be streamed live earlier. So those of you on the West Coast, you'll be able to probably check the time, probably about 8 o'clock, maybe 7 o'clock Pacific Standard Time, depending on when I get things situated. I don't have a big heavy schedule on Monday, so maybe I can get it done earlier. Just have to kind of keep a lookout at geeknewscentral.com if you want to join the show live that night. Hopefully the hotel has good enough bandwidth. We will see. But I have my EVDO card, so we'll use those if we have to. Hey, we're going to announce a winner at the end of the show, but I did want to share with you. I told you last on the last podcast that we're going to have a little gift card giveaway, and the state that has the largest audience is the great state of Texas. So I was pretty amazed, considering there's a lot of listeners I know that call in from New York, a lot of listeners that call in from Illinois, a lot of that call in from California, and all those states are right there in the top. But Texas, by far, is the largest audience of this show. And I was really kind of blown away, but it's kind of cool we were able to break that out in the stats system that we have over at Raw Voice. Also, the time capsule. We're still taking time capsule submissions. Those continue to trickle in a little bit by little bit. So if you have an idea on what's going to be going on in the podcasting space when we reach show 1,000 or 5 years from now, definitely send in your listing. And it doesn't have to be a lot, just a paragraph. And we'll put that in the time capsule. We'll actually have a time capsule. I'll put it back here behind me, and it'll contain all the entries printed out or on a USB stick or something. So I'm sure we'll still have USB sticks in a couple of years, in 5 years. So wouldn't that be funny? 5 years from now, open that thing, I'm like, oh, that's been outdated. No, anyway, we'll have put those entries in there, and then we'll have a giveaway at show 1,000 or 5 years from now, and we'll also have a giveaway here. Probably in the next couple of shows, I'll do that. I'll start getting ready to close that out. I want to remind you to check out the free magazine offers on the website at geeknewscentral.com. You'll find the link there in the second column of the website. Anything that you sign up for there and qualify for, that helps me out a little bit every month, and we appreciate your support. Hey, just want to take just a second here, and I debated whether or not I wanted to talk about this or not, but I've been watching the news, and actually I need to switch my. We're not on show prep anymore. Been watching the financial reports coming out. It was announced a few days ago by Wizard Media. They're the same folks that are the owners of Libsyn, essentially the largest podcast hosting company. And I've really been hoping that the folks over there at Wizard were going to have a. Be able to start seeing some progress on their financials, and I'm really worried in a sad way about Wizard and what's going on over there. They're, I don't know. I was looking at their cash balance sheet. I just hope Chris is successful in raising money to keep the company going. I have no information whatsoever, and I'm not trying to imply anything here, but they have had another. Another bad quarter, and I really, at this point in the game, in the podcasting world, we need companies like Wizard. We need companies like Mevia. We need companies like Raw Voice to be in business and be thriving. And because, you know, we can worry about competition later. You know, this thing is, even though we're 5 years into the podcasting medium itself, this thing's still washing out. I mean, there's still changes every day. And, fortunately, we're sitting in real good shape at Raw Voice. But I'm hoping that these other companies are able to continue to move forward. I have no idea what's going on at Mevio. I haven't got a clue. They had a significant amount of funding, so they should be able to go for a very, very long time, I would think. It's a little bit concerning to me for sure. So, and I know many of you that are podcasters that listen to this show, be aware of it and pay attention to what's going on in the space. You know, if I hear anything, I'll definitely let you know. And, I just wonder what it's going to take to really keep things moving for all these companies. It's an interesting dynamic, and one that I don't like to see. I don't like to see any company having financial difficulties. Of course, the economy has not helped. Luckily, we've been, here at Raw Voice, we've been, lean and mean for a long time. And that's, allowed us to, keep moving and progressing forward as a company. May not be as fast as some of these other groups, for sure, but, it's just, keep chugging away at things. So we'll keep an eye on it, and for those of you that are podcasters that listen to the show, definitely we'll keep you advised. Relating to financial stuff, we've got good news for quarter four. I've been talking with the media buyers. Looks like quarter four is going to come in just like it should, and normally we're going to come in again, and we're going to have a good quarter four. So I'm pretty happy about that. That'll take us through the end of the year as far as advertising goes. And, really, the advertisers at this point in the podcasting space are keeping a lot of podcasters moving forward. And they're, putting a lot of money into the space right now. And it's a good thing. It really, really is. So, I was really amazed. We had a meeting on Tuesday. Every Tuesday we have our board meeting at Raw Voice, and we were talking about what we're going to, where we're going to be for the rest of the year. And I'm not going to fully announce it on this show right now, but I will tell you this. We have in significant planning stage, I mean very, very deep in the planning stage, a new website that we're going to be introducing. And unlike what we have done in the past, we're going to publicly announce what we're going to do ahead of time. And the reason we're going to do that is we know that we have really one chance to get this site right. And it's going to take some input from a specific segment of the new media space. And we'll be talking about that when we're, when I'm ready to go forward and I'll have some surveys and stuff out. But we want to make sure we nail exactly what we're trying to achieve, and really the only way we're going to be able to do that is by getting some feedback from a specific segment in the new media space, a specific segment of listeners, podcasters, and so forth. And once we get the questionnaire ready, we're going to be cutting you guys loose on that. And really, this will be the first time we have publicly talked about a site before we have really started building the shell. A lot of the code that goes into it is well underway, but we have, we really want to nail what's going to happen on, really, when you come and visit the website. So I know I'm not saying a lot right now, but I am going to say that we are going to be announcing that shortly. Hopefully I can do that maybe next week and have something ready to turn you all on to so that you can go and basically provide feedback. And it's very, very important. I'm really going to dig deep with this audience, along with all of our podcasters' audiences at Blueberry and Tech Podcast, to really help us define what we're going to do, because it's going to be really, really important, and we want it to be really, really big the day that we say, okay, the switch is turned on, go here. And we'll probably have significant numbers of people that are going to be invited very early in the very early stages of the development to really help provide feedback. So I'm very excited about that, and we haven't, we've always been pretty tight-lipped on new sites and things. And this will be really the first new site we'll have launched in a number of years. We have gotten Blueberry and some of our administrative stuff nailed down to the point where really we are, until we start adding more features, we're feature complete on many of the stuff that we're, that we've rolled out, or pretty close to feature complete. You're never, ever totally feature complete, but at least what's on the drawing board. And, I guess going back to the sponsors keep this thing moving. And I want to thank GoDaddy, of course, for being a longtime sponsor here at Geek News Central. If you get over to GoDaddy.com and you're looking for a domain name, if you're looking for a hosting account, whether it be shared, dedicated, or virtual, you'll definitely want to use one of my promo codes. You'll find a link to those promo codes at geeknewscentral.com. Todd20 is a code where you can save 20% on a one-year shared hosting account. And then what else we've got? We've got Todd will save you 10% on non-domain purchases. Geek5 will save you 15% on orders $20 or more. ComSale will save you money on .coms. But that Todd20, that's a gold mine. Hey, if you're getting a shared hosting account, use that Todd20, 20% off on one-year shared hosting accounts. Thanks for GoDaddy for being a continued sponsor here at Geek News Central. It was kind of cool this morning while I was in the VTC, not only during the VTC, but I was able to actually at the same time in one window be able to see the folks that I was chatting with. But in this another window, we were all up on GoToMeeting this morning and walking through some stuff. And it was kind of cool. It was a new dynamic. Normally I do an audio call, but this time it was visual. We could see each other. And I could watch people's expressions. And when I was bringing stuff up on the page, and that was worth $1 million. It really, really was. To be able to see, because, when you're doing a presentation, normally you're face-to-face, you can adjust your presentation based upon the atmosphere. If you look like you're starting to lose an audience, you can pick up the pace or change a tone. And that was exactly what I could do today, because audio works good, but I also wanted to be able to see those guys. And the combination of a VTC, a video teleconference, and at the same time having a separate window to go to meeting session running with the presentation was a home run. It really, really was. So a new way to use GoToMeeting for me, at least. And you can, too, combine those kinds of cool little tips and tricks when you're using your own copy of GoToMeeting. Get a free 30-day demo at GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast, GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast. We appreciate GoToMeeting for being really the world's best online conferencing solution. And, again, check it out at GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast. I'm going to adjust the camera here, and I don't like the angle of that thing. It looks like it's off a little bit, but I'm going to mess up my one view. Let me change it here. That's better. I think that's better. I was like way off center. All right, I got a lot of content for you tonight. I've got email at the end of the show, and I didn't check the voicemail. We'll see what happens when we get to the end of the show. I will tell you this. Tonight I am using Chrome. I decided to give it a run for its money to see how it would work out. And it's Google Chrome. I don't know how many of you have used Chrome before. But one thing I've noticed here tonight when I've been using it, I've got all the tabs loaded up like I normally do. I loaded Google Reader up, found the actual topics that I wanted to talk about. And what I found was that as you open up the tabs, it definitely doesn't use as much memory as Firefox does. But one thing that it isn't really good at, it's not real responsive when you switch between tabs. What I was finding was that I'd have I've got 30 some tabs opened up here for articles tonight, and as I click from tab to tab, really it took like maybe it feels like a second or second and a half for the actual page to show up. It's blank, and then all of a sudden it just kind of pops in. And I don't know if that's a function of maybe me not having a super powerful desktop machine or not, but this is the only negative I've seen on Chrome. It did have a little bit of problem with a Facebook page when I was making a posting on there letting people know about the podcast. So it's a little quirky. I'm using the latest beta version, so that probably has something to do with it. But overall, pretty clean to use. I'll keep you advised on that. Okay, first thing up, I want to, of course, encourage you to go over to techpodcast.com. Click on the blog link there. You'll see TPN Weekly number 18, All Things Azeroth, is the show that put up the weekly podcast. We are going to have a roundtable week from Saturday. I was talking with Andy McCaskey about that this morning, so we should be good to go from a week from Saturday for having a roundtable. We'll get I got a cough like right there that keeps wanting to come out. And obviously, you guys are hearing it. But anyway, we'll have a roundtable a week from Saturday. But just check out the weekly shows that the guys have been putting up. I think you'll find some good information there. All right, I'm going to start right off by going over to Robin Good's website at masternewmedia.org. And, you know, Robin really, he generally puts up these articles that are really full of information. They're very resource-rich. But he's got an article up here today. When I read this, the title of this article, I was like, whoa. It says, How to Deceive, Lie, and Spread Disinformation. It says, A Guide to the Most Effective Disinformation Tactics. And I read that title and I said, what is he doing saying how to deceive, lie, and spread disinformation? A Guide to the Most Effective Disinformation Tactics. And I said, okay, so there's got to be more to this than meets the eye. And it goes on talking about what is disinformation and, you know, all kinds of really kind of like a roadmap to things that I would never do, to be honest with you. And I'm kind of puzzled by why he put this out. Maybe I'm missing the point. You know, if this was an article that was going to be saying, okay, here's what the major mainstream media is doing, this is what you should watch out for, that makes sense. But this applies to everyone. And I don't know. I'd like to hear you guys' feedback on this. It just struck me kind of odd for one of his particular article types. Link will be up in the show notes. Love to hear feedback, of course. Geeknews@gmail.com. You can call the voicemail hotline and leave your comments as well at +1-619-342-7365. Hey, I almost forgot. The intro contest is still going. If you want a chance to win a Zune HD, you'll definitely want to submit the MP3 of an intro for the podcast. Basically, I'm in the search to find a new intro, new opening that we'll be able to use, you know, for the next how many ever shows until I'm ready to switch again. So I've got some entries. We'll play them here at the end of the show. One of them is kind of interesting, and we've got one listener that has submitted three already. So he's pretty hungry. You know, and it's actually, I think when you hear it, you're going to go, it may give you all some other ideas, but the production level is close, but not quite there. I think you'll know what I mean when you listen to it at the end of the podcast. But again, if you got comments, +1-619-342-7365. All right, over on Facebook, there's a article about publishing to Twitter from Facebook pages. And I guess they're going to be making this available, again, from Facebook pages, not necessarily your profile, but if you have a page, a specific page, as a company page or a fan page on Facebook, you're going to be able here shortly to be able to send links, photos, notes, status updates straight from Facebook over to your Twitter account. So they're making some, you know, they've integrated with the Twitter API there. So I'll keep you advised on that. And we'll have, of course, links up to the article in the show notes. Moving on here, the next article up I've got is from the folks over at Mackenstein.com. They're saying that Snow Leopard is going to hit next Friday, August 28th. Apparently, support training has already begun. He has a link of a number of internal memos and stuff. So it looks like the next iteration of Mac OS 10, Snow Leopard is going to be available next Friday. So, hey, you know what? Definitely Apple's beaten Microsoft to a release date, which is pretty interesting. So We'll see what happens with the take up on this. I'm sure there's going to be lots of news on it next week if that's the actual release date. So I have that link up for you in the show notes. All right, over on IT News, this is an article from an Australian business online website. They ran a stress test on Amazon Cloud, and this was actually something I was talking to Angelo about today. We're putting in some contingencies, planning for, growth of our hosting services and so forth, and we're talking about ways that we can grow as our a number of our podcasters that are hosting it at Blueberry and our different sites start to roll in, and making sure we're staying ahead of that that power curve so that people aren't seeing a performance hit and get discouraged with timeouts and that kind of things. So we're talking about the implementation of being able to use Amazon EC2, the Google App Engine, and so forth as a possible platform for scalability. And as I was reading through this IT News article as related to stress testing on these cloud services, they did a simulated influx of 2,000 concurrent users connected to a service that they had on EC2 and on each of the three providers. And basically they were looking at the ability of those services to scale and really hold their own with a impact of about 3,000 users doing a variety of different applications. I basically were running the same thing. And they said that they saw the cloud service scale up and respond dynamically, but they found that the three platforms had wildly variable performance results as Amazon, Google, and Microsoft trialed. Really just kind of, the performance benchmarks were all over, and they collated the test results, and basically are saying that they are concerned that, real immediate scaling up is difficult. If you have a gradual increase, it's pretty good. They do a pretty good job of scaling up, but if all of a sudden, you have an event, you have a slash dot event, you have a dig event, where all of a sudden you get this mainstream rush of people to the website, or a bunch of people signing up by the thousands for your service, it was, it didn't have this like straight up rate. It kind of had this linear rate, which I guess, in most instances probably be okay. But we'll have to watch as more companies use the EC2 cloud, Google App Engine, and so forth to, of course, Microsoft Azure Cloud Computing Services, of whether or not they're going to be able to really meet the enterprise demand that is required at times. So I think for what we've got planned, I would suspect our service demand will be gradual, and we shouldn't even, we won't need that huge dynamic ability of EC2 to grow at this, just almost an instantaneous rate. I don't think we have to worry about that. We're not nowhere near that big, folks, that's for sure. So kind of an interesting article for those of you that are working on enterprise systems, whether or not you're going to, consider using Amazon EC2. I am kind of curious if any of you are running sites, applications, processes, and so forth on any of those cloud services. What has been your experience? Love to hear your feedback on that, probably from developers and so on. I know you may not be able to talk specifically about what you're doing, but I know there's a bunch of people doing some podcasting testing. As I talked about in the last show, someone continues to hit my entire library. Why they're downloading my entire library repeatedly, I don't know. Please send me an email. If you're that person, let me know what you're doing. All right. FeedDemon 3.0.0.27. That's a mouthful. Hey, Nick, why didn't you just name it like 3.1 or something instead of 3.0.0.27? Is there some subliminal message there with that? But anyway, FeedDemon 3.0.0.27, again, is now available from the FeedDemon beta site. And this is a number of additions and improvements include a quick tag feature, support for WP.ME. We'll talk about WP.ME here in a little bit. And a variety of different updates for the synchronization with Google Reader. So this is out on the street to keep you advised. And actually, I need to update and see what Nick has been up to, even though I haven't used FeedDemon in a while. I guess Kevin Mitnick, even though it's been many, many years since he got out of prison for the hacking that he did. Actually, he was, you know, he was a famous hacker for a very long time. He still is. And he's the target of all wannabe hackers to try to hack any type of accounts he may have, his websites, his phone, you name it. This guy is the target of every wannabe kiddie scripter out there that's, you know, hey, I, you know, with bragging rights, say, hey, I hacked Kevin Mitnick's website. So apparently AT&T has said, hey, we can't handle this. And they canceled his cellular service with them just because of for security issues. They weren't able to secure his account. You think about this for a second. If they are able to get into Kevin's AT&T account with, it sounds like, this much ease, it makes you wonder how susceptible how it's going to affect all of us. So you can tell I'm doing great with the English language tonight. So we'll just chalk that one up for forget it and move on. Now, sometimes your mouth just doesn't move the way you want it to move, and the tongue refuses to just click through. Oh, man. But anyway, it makes you just wonder, you know, if someone really came after us or you or me or, you know, what will happen to our, you know, our online accounts. If AT&T cannot secure Kevin's information, which is, you know, you think about it, he's probably got some serious passwords going on and some serious password reset stuff. And if they can't secure his, I think we're all like fair game sitting ducks. So Kevin is considering basically filing suit against AT&T for not being able to secure his private information. And meanwhile, he's without a mobile service provider at this point. Sucks to be him, that's for sure. The thing is, would you want to even tell anybody what service you're using if you're him? And you wouldn't even want to show your phone in public. You really, really wouldn't. All right, over on theboygeniusreport.com, we talked a little bit about this on the last show. Possible new iTunes 9 version screenshots depicts Facebook social playlist integration and third-party device support. So, you know, I don't know what it is, but, you know, when podcasting first got kicked off, you could hook up almost any device to iTunes and sync your podcast and your media to it. And I haven't tried that with just a generic run-of-the-mill MP3 player. How many of you are still being able to do that? Now, I know that there's this battle going on with the Pre right now, and I know the Pre has done a workaround. But how many of you have just a standard run-of-the-mill MP3 player can plug into your PCs or your Macs and actually sync that to media player via iTunes? Or are you using a third-party program to do that? For a long time, and I guess maybe because I just kind of ignored iTunes for such a long time that I guess I'm not up to speed on that. So, you know, do I really want to share my playlist on Facebook? Do I really want to go social with iTunes? You know, I know some people do that, but do people really care to know what kind of music I'm listening to? You know, if they do, I'm sorry. You know, it's like, get a life. I guess if you're a famous person, you know, and you know you're a music artist or something like that, yeah, maybe you want to share your playlist. But why would anyone want to listen to mine? You know, I don't get it. I really don't. But we'll see what they come out with here, and I'm sure that's going to be part of the announcement when they have their big meeting or big announcement in September. Good article in the New York Times technology section talking about how hackers snatch real-time security ID numbers. And really, it's all about real-time now, folks, with all this different types of malware that's out there. Even though you're connecting to a SSL, you know, maybe a website that's got full encryption, you know, everything that you type in your computer is being, you know, basically sent encrypted over the internet back to the website. It's now they've gotten to the point where they can bypass some of these RSA secure ID systems and really do some havoc. And I think the thing that scared me the most about this, and this goes back to identity theft and everything else that's going on, is that some of these Trojans and malware applications that people are getting loaded onto their machines unknowingly is really you go to your bank account and you log in. You think you're secure. You know, you don't keep your password written down. You have your, you know, your account number. You put your security information in there. It says, hey, by the way, I haven't seen this machine before. Maybe it sends your cell phone a confirmation. Or, you know, you have to go through a process. I know that the bank that we do business with for our corporate stuff, if you log into it from a different machine, it says, hey, I have never seen you come from this IP before. We need to validate you. And it goes through a number of steps to do that. Well, part of this RSA secure ID system, which a lot of banks use, is basically being able to be bypassed. Because what happens is that through some hacker techniques, is when you log on to your bank account, the hacker logs in with you via their machine and able to kind of, you know, trick the system through a little sleight of hand. And this is pretty nasty stuff here, folks. And, you know, I don't know what do banks do these days? You know, you log into your account and all of a sudden, you know, $2,000 is missing out of your savings account and you didn't do nothing with it, but you go to the bank and make it, hey, you transferred that money. You were logged in. We see when you were logged in. Now, how do you fight that? It makes you want to quit using online banking almost. I haven't been to a teller in years. But it makes me want to start using that teller again with all this crazy stuff going on. It really does. But it's getting worse. And we're seeing more and more articles about this type of stuff every day. And with the economy down, hey, these guys are motivated, you know? They're motivated to take your money and my money. And that scares me. It really, really does. A little more information about the college football scene on the Southeastern Conference. Basically banning people from taking photos and quick videos and that type of stuff at games. It turns out they've refined their message a little bit, and they're saying that average people that are putting a page to their Flickr page or putting a post up on their website that do it on a random basis, they're not going to target those folks. But they're going to be going after fan websites, websites that are not sanctioned by the universities or the football teams, sites like Gator Nation, Alligator Army, all those types of sites that are out there that are really those are a lot of rumor sites, a lot of information that's being reported. You know, they're really heavily trafficked. You know, there's a lot of traffic that goes to those websites. And those folks, they're cut off, and they're going to go after those folks in a big, big way. We'll see. We'll see how effective this is. Don't you think the more information people get, the more excited they get about stuff? But, it's all about that power and control, folks. And I don't know, sports fans are hardcore. They're as hardcore as Mac users. They really, really are. And, I don't know how they're going to stop this. I really don't. But we'll see. We'll watch this from afar and see what happens. Well, there's a court order. The New York Supreme Court ordered Google to reveal the IP and email address of one of its Blogger platform users. The blogger used a Google-powered blog to launch a site called, well, I'm not even going to repeat it on the show here, but it's Beep in New York City, with the apparent purpose of conducting a vicious verbal attack on a magazine model. And this individual is trying to hide behind this account. And this lady has filed a libel lawsuit against that particular individual. Now Google is going to be required to reveal the IP and email address, and that individual will end up in court to essentially face the music here. So, you know, this is a good thing for all of us to remember. The web is the web, and what you say on the web can hurt you, especially if you libel someone. And while your opinion is okay in stating your opinion about something, and you can state how you don't like someone and so forth, but you have to be very, very careful in, you know, actually saying something that may be untrue about someone. And if you say something that's untrue, you very well could find yourself in court. I don't know people think that can be completely, they think they can just get away with this kind of stuff. Now, it could turn out that this individual may have covered his tracks and so forth, but how many people actually go to that extent of using redirect services and so forth? Eventually, they may be able to, you know, track the crumb trail back to this person, and they may not actually find out who this is. But while there is free speech, you know, what you say about people can come back to haunt you in the court of law. And having an opinion is one thing, as long as you're stating it's your opinion, but libeling someone and saying something, again, that's not true, as a blogger, podcaster, and so forth, can get you very careful. And, you know, I've tried over the years, is as much as I dislike some companies, to really try to stick to as much factual information, or, you know, it was reported on this website, this is what they said, this is my opinion, not state something as fact, unless I absolutely know it's fact, because, you know, it's companies are pretty sensitive these days to those types of actions by podcasters and bloggers and so forth. Okay, moving on. The next article is a article that was done by Warren Buffett. Now, you know, I don't know what you think about Warren Buffett one way or the other, but, you know, this guy's rich. And obviously he runs in pretty important circles. He has high influence, you know, what plus, you know, some be either you probably like Warren Buffett or you don't. You're probably one side or the other. But he had an editorial in the New York Times today that really was like, whew, pretty strong worded. And I think he, you know, worried about the amount of money being spent and so forth. But I just found his commentary to be kind of interesting. I don't know if I necessarily agree with everything he says, but this guy is, you know, he didn't become rich by being dumb. He's a very smart man. And I would think that when it comes to financial stuff, maybe people ought to listen a little bit. You know, then again, it is what it is, and maybe you guys don't agree, and I probably shouldn't even brought it up. But have linked up this in the show notes anyway. Hey, we're over on SciOrg.com. There is a article about the ultimate long-distance communication. I think this is pretty cool because, you know, as I'm driving around here in Honolulu, I'm talking to someone on my hands-free, you know, I often get disconnected, and it really is very aggravating. You know, I don't remember getting disconnected very much with T-Mobile. I knew there was a couple of spots on a certain road that I would drive that I just knew I'd get cut off. But AT&T just seems all of a sudden just to lose its mind and get lost and disconnect me, and then it takes 10 minutes for the signal to reacquire. You know, it's a lovely service. But yet, NASA can put a probe in orbit around Mars. They can put a probe in orbit around the moon, and they can transfer data, low reconnaissance orbiter, this lunar reconnaissance orbiter, is able to send 461 gigabits of data back to a base station every day. It transfers information at a rate of up to 100 megs per second. And it's the transmitter stuff that was designed there was by a company called L3 Communications. And they built an amplifier under the supervision of NASA's Glenn Research Center in Cleveland. And they use some vacuum tube technology to amplify the signals and so forth. It's all, you know, some electronic hocus pocus. But what, you know, what I find ironic is we can send 460-some gigs of data per second from the moon back to a ground station. I think it's in Arizona or someplace. And yet I can't drive around Honolulu and get 3 megs of I can't even get EVDO service half the time. And when I have line of sight to a tower. Now, you know, obviously it doesn't take as much power to get stuff, you know, transmitted through the vacuum of space. But, you know, still, 461 gigs of data per day is able to be transmitted back from the LRO. You know, maybe what AT&T, Verizon, and Sprint, all those companies, maybe they need to go over to NASA and take some lessons. And obviously, it's completely different technology. It's, you know, different frequency bands and everything else. I think this one here, they said it runs in the KU band. And, but, you know, I really have to, you know, I just kind of smile when I see this kind of stuff, and I think about the communications capabilities. We can, we can talk to a rover on Mars, but I can't talk to a guy when I'm driving around in my car. It's just, it's pretty ridiculous. It really, really is. All right, on ABC Science at abc.net.au, astronomers spot a new type of death star. A team of astronomers have found the missing link of a stellar death, revealing what our sun might look like at the end of its life, which is pretty scary stuff. But a group of Australian U.S. astronomers led by a professor out of Sydney calls a new class of object a superplanetary nebula. So I have this link up in the show notes here. It was a chance find, but they're pretty excited about this. And really what it does is it shows a star that's expanding and really almost out of gas, per se, and ready to blow its lid. So I have this link up in the show notes for you that are science buffs to check out. We said it time and time and time again. What you post on the internet can come back to haunt you when it comes to jobs. And, really, so many of us now are living our lives largely online. Comments on Twitter, comments on Facebook, making stuff publicly available. And employers are, if they're looking at three or four different candidates, and they go out there and, all three or four candidates have equal qualities, and they go out and you're on your Twitter site and you're making, comments every second day about going out and partying or talking about your employer or whatever it may be, you probably shouldn't, if you're looking for a job, you probably shouldn't be posting that kind of stuff. HR departments have said that Facebook was the most popular site for researching job candidates this year. Facebook has exploded, of course, and professional networking sites like LinkedIn came in at 26%, MySpace came in at 21%, and 11% read blogs like mine, and 7% followed candidates' updates on Twitter. So are you paranoid about any of your recent tweets? Have you said something that would make an employer go, hmm? And the way people are looking for jobs these days, it can make the difference here. Hey, I've got a I was talking to a friend of mine who is currently active duty Navy. He's getting ready to retire next year in the May timeframe. He's going to be going back to the North Carolina area. If any of you that are part of the Ohana here, part of the audience, are living in North Carolina, in and around Cherry Point, where else, in that general area, and you're looking for a good candidate, I've got a guy that I can highly recommend, and he's pretty skilled, and depending on what you have, he may fit to your organization. I know that's a long ways out, but if any of you are in North Carolina and looking for someone that I can recommend, I've got a guy that is going to be on a job hunt here soon, so send me an email, and I'll have you have him send you his resume when he's ready, or I send him some profile information so you can check out, see if he would make a candidate for your company. So, again, somebody I highly recommend, real sharp guy, and make an asset to any company out there in the North Carolina area. Internet slowly wakes up to PayPal's quiet fee hike. PayPal has generated its fair share of controversies, of course, over the years, but apparently PayPal's made some changes here recently in the way they are charging some transfers. What PayPal has done is really they didn't publicize this, but they are charging now for any transfer having to do with goods or services. Now, you used to be able, or you're supposed to be able to make personal transfers without incurring the 3 cents and the 2.9% fee. But if you are doing, if you have a personal account and you are transferring or sending money to another personal account, and whether it be for a good or a service, they're going to whack you for that 3 cents plus 2.9% fee, no matter who or where it's coming from. So be aware of that when you're out there using PayPal. I do a huge amount of business on PayPal. It drives my accountant crazy. It really, really does. He doesn't fully get the whole PayPal thing. And especially the way the accounting is done on the PayPal site, it drives him nuts. So anyway, information. That's good information for you if you use PayPal a lot. All right, this next one's on the BBC. A pretty interesting article talking about video appearing in paper magazines. The first video advertisement will be published in a traditional paper magazine in September. So it's going to be in the business. It's actually going to be an Entertainment Weekly. And it's going to have a little small display about the size of a cell phone display. And it will have a chip embedded with a power supply that can be recharged that will hold up to 40 minutes of video. And it's a new way. It's going to have like a Pepsi commercial. It's going to have a couple short run things. I'm going to have to pick this up and check it out. I can't imagine what those companies are going to pay for that or how much that costs to embed in the printing. But it's kind of a cool gimmick. That will ever take off? Your guess is as good as mine. We'll see. All right, WordPress has its own URL shortener. So if you're on WordPress.com and you are you've got your blog hosted over there, you can now get a short URL, wp.me. It'll create a little short URL for you that you can copy into Twitter and different places. So that's available for you. And I guess this, you know, as long as WordPress is around, WordPress.com, you don't have to worry about this redirect going down. So the folks over there have integrated this. So pretty cool little service availability for those of you that have your blogs there. Okay, America has its first internet addiction detox program. And even though the story on this is changing slightly, we've all heard about how China has its internet detox centers where they beat people up and, you know, they resort to barbaric types of, different tools that they're using to try to get people to quit using the internet, quit gaming and so forth. But there's a retreat center in a Falls City near Seattle that claims to have the first internet addiction detox program in the States. You can pull out your wallet and give them $14,500. And you can go in and check yourself into this Internet Addiction Center. Yeah, okay, 14.5. I got a simple solution for your internet addiction. Join the Navy and go to sea. That will be, you'll make some money, you'll serve your country, and you'll get out cheap. You'll definitely won't have too much internet service. At least when you're at sea. All right, over on eWeek, stolen credit card data goes cheap on cyber black market. This talks about how much credit cards are going for these days. If you're in Germany, hey, you're the prize winner. Your credit cards are going for about $20 a piece. U.S. cards are going for a couple of dollars. So a big difference there. The price is down from a year ago. I guess that 13 million or 130 million credit cards that were flooded on the market definitely diluted the price value. But, you know, it's just a law of averages. You just hope that yours isn't pulled out of that stack. So I thought you'd be interested in that info. All right, over on National Geographic, they've got a report about plastic breaking down in the oceans very fast. You know, it was assumed that plastics that are in the ocean take really hundreds and thousands of years to degrade. But actually, scientists had previously thought plastics broke down only at very high temperatures and over hundreds of years. But researchers behind a new study, however, found that plastic breaks down at cooler temperatures faster than expected and within a year of the trash hitting the water. The concern is that the chemicals found within the plastics may be poisoning the ocean worse than the actual plastic it would have as it was floating around. A study, it says, about 40% of all seabirds eat plastic by mistake, and 267 marine species, of course, eat garbage and stuff that's out there. But they're saying that now that this breakdown is happening faster, that it's going to result in, you know, more toxic, you know, essentially we're going to turn the oceans into a toxic dump. So more toxic than it is because of these chemicals being released from the plastic as it breaks down. So we'll see what happens here. But I was kind of surprised about this. We'll see if this is from National Geographic. So, you know, the information must be pretty good. All right, the Department of Justice give blessing to Oracle and Sun to essentially do their merger. They're waiting on European Commission approval. So that's moving forward, another step closer to that merger happening. You know, since when does two American companies have to get the European Commission's approval? I don't get this. I guess maybe because they're an international company, but, you know, this is talking about a global society. We definitely belong to that, don't we? All right, Mac or netbook? What do you think students are going to choose? I know what my son would choose. He would probably say, Dad, I want a MacBook. Well, this year, a majority of college students are gearing up for school are buying netbooks. And they're saying that 49% of students will buy full-size Windows laptops, 34% will purchase netbooks, and only 17% will buy a MacBook of those that intended to buy one. So maybe it's the economy. Maybe it's parents trying to save some money. That's interesting, but you know, I'm sure many of these netbooks will run Word and different Office applications, so they'd probably be okay. But if I'm a student, hey Dad, I want a MacBook or I want a Windows laptop. You know, I would never send my kids to school with a netbook. I don't think. But this is what the polls are saying, so I don't know. I digress. What do you guys think? What are your parents are sending college kids off? What are you sending them to school with? Hey, if you were wanting to download Windows 7 beta, it's too late. Microsoft has pulled it. You're going to have to now buy it when it hits the store shelves in October. So those of you that downloaded it here in the last couple of days got the latest update. Your versions probably will last well into next year before they are not allowed to be updated any longer and go dark. But Windows 7 beta downloads are no longer available. Hey, if you've got a Sirius or an XM account, hey, make sure you look at your billing because they are now passing on the RIAA tax onto consumers. You're going to see a $2 surcharge added to your bill that is going to be used to pay the all of the royalties they have to make to the Copyright Royalty Board. So, you know, all right, so Sirius and XM have to collect that money to pay. What's going to happen now to just our traditional radio out there? Can you imagine? Now, they can't collect us because it's over the open airways, right? But what happens when they get whacked with the same rules that Sirius and XM has? And they're trying real hard to do that. You know what that means? Instead of having commercials every 10 minutes, you're going to have commercials like every 6 minutes or something to that effect. Aren't you glad you listen to a podcast like this one where you only really get 2 to 3 minutes of ads for an hour and 15 minutes worth of content? You know, what a deal, right? And some of you are saying, I don't even want to hear those, Todd. But, yeah, a lot of bang for your buck here. All right, is a blogger strike the best way to fight back against laws designed to quiet bloggers? Apparently, in Italy, there is a blog strike going on to let me read through this. Last month, there was a proposed law in Italy that would have serious effects on bloggers and other independent online producers by setting up fines for not pulling down content if someone accuses the site of defamation. This is not upon a court verdict or just upon the accusation. In other words, if someone says, hey, there is a defamation, my company's being defamed in this, you have to pull the article down, and it's no court order required. So, you know, you couldn't write anything. It's a lot of protection for companies because you could write something bad about a company, and all the company has to say is, hey, take it down, and you have to take it down irregardless. But it's called the Sit Media Law over on a website called Sit Media Law. I'll have a link up to this in the show notes. They're thinking that the blog strike is not going to be able to affect this. If nothing else, it's going to speed it up. Bloggers, I agree. The bloggers in Italy need to be blogging about this instead of going silent. It does nothing. You got to fight back, you know, with the pen. You can't fight back without being quiet. So I have the link up to this Techter article for you. Hey, I want to congratulate Jeffrey Powers over at Geekazine.com. He just hit his 100th show. And go over to geekazine.com, check his show out. He put it up on August 18th, and Jeffrey's working real hard on his show, and go over there and give him some feedback on it. Link will be up in the show notes, of course, and congratulations to Jeffrey for hitting his 100th podcast. All right, NASA has tested an inflatable heat shield. NASA suborbital rocket tested money an inflatable heat shield that could reduce the weight of future reentry capsules. The inflatable reentry vehicle experiment, the IRVE, was flown on a Black Brant 9 suborbital rocket from the Wallops Flight Facility in Virginia. I didn't even know that place. Did anybody know? I don't even know this existed. Wallops Flight Facility in Virginia. They launched this experiment. And the 3-meter inflatable heat shield deployed 90 seconds after the payload reached an altitude of about 200 kilometers. And then NASA said that the shield worked as planned during its descent through the atmosphere to splash down the Atlantic. The inflatable heat shields could be used on future Mars missions where mass is at a premium. Pretty cool stuff. I think that they could inflate that and it would have enough durability to, you know, survive a reentry. Hey, I got a link to a website that, I hate to say it, it's horribly designed. I mean, this guy is like, it's a HTML version 1 or something. They have not done a good job with this website, but it's got some cool stuff. It's science toys you can make with your kids. It's over at scitoys.com, SCITOYS.com. I was looking through this, some cool projects there if you're working into building some cool stuff with your kids. They give you all the information on where to buy stuff. Have the link up to it in the show notes. Let me know if you play around with this with any of your kids. I found some cool things there. Crystal radio kits. Excuse me. I used to build that kind of stuff when I was a kid. So I'm thinking, yeah, this is good for my kids to get into. Radio transmitter kits, laser stuff, all kinds of cool stuff. So link will be up in the show notes. Am I getting the hiccups? Okay, last couple of articles here. iPhone 3GS is reportedly being able to they have found a way to kind of bypass some of the settings, and it's capable of playing 1080p video. So they found this out over at Engadget. They've got a video on that, on the app that you can install to actually really kind of trick the iPhone into playing 1080p. So that's kind of cool. And also, the coolest clock I've ever seen is available today. It's a clock that would cost you $1,600. But it actually has a display, and the one I'm looking at, it says it is 10:45. So it actually has, it's like a Scrabble board almost. And as stuff shows up, it aligns it pretty cool. I don't know if I'd pay $1,600 for it, but a very smart idea. I'm sure we're going to see something like this in some sort of a desktop screensaver or sorts at some point. But very, very cool. All right, those of you that are Bose fans, the new Bose Quiet Comfort 15 acoustic noise-canceling headphones are available on the market for a whopping $299. I love my Bose headsets, and, you know, Bose is really good. You know, its price is high, but I broke a set that I had bought a number of years ago. I called them. I said, I broke the headset. It doesn't, you know, I don't know how I did it, but it doesn't hold. You know, the sliders doesn't hold no more. I said, bring it into our repair center or send it to us. They sent me a brand new one. No questions asked. I do like how they do noise canceling. I like the ones with the cuffs, not the ones that are flat against your ears. So while I don't need some, those of you that are looking for some noise canceling headphones, I highly recommend them. Now, they're not real good for podcasters that are recording their podcasts. I don't like the dynamics on them for that. But perfectly fine for music and flying and listen to your iPod and so forth. All right, not surprisingly, survey says 97% of iPhone owners love their iPhones, 55% hate AT&T. So with that, we'll go ahead and move into the show notes commentary tonight. And actually, we've got some audio to play. And I've got a promo by one of our new – actually, it's a podcaster that's listens to the show. And David, I'm going to play your promo, but here's a little advice for you. Background music too high, and I think you'll be able to tell when you play it back, when we play it tonight. Bring the background music down at least 10 or 15 decibels and basically resend it to me. But I'll play it anyway, irregardless. You can check it out how it sounds on the show. But I've got some GNC intros for consideration here. One of these has got background music from a friend of mine, Derek over at Pen Machine, And I'm sure Derek would be pleased to hear this music in our new intro. But let me go ahead and play these a couple of intro samples, and then we'll see if you guys have any feedback on those, and then we'll play David's podcast promo, and then we'll get into the email.
All right, people, I need a go-no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Recording devices.
Go flight.
Music bed.
Go flight.
Microphone.
Go flight.
Video feed.
Go flight.
Web browser.
Go flight.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go flight.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host.
Go flight.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
3.
Everybody hold on to something.
2.
Just press the button.
1.
Not bad, huh? What do you guys think about that one? I think we're pretty close with that one. I'll be honest with you. That one's not too bad whatsoever. We're close there with that one. We really, really are. So, anyway, I don't know. What do you guys think? What do you guys think about that one? Okay, here comes the next entry. Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast. I can't imagine. Sleeping 8 hours to me is like, that's like sleeping in. That's like a luxury. But if you think about that, what is there, 50 or 60,000 apps on the App Store? And to think that one developer, write me a big fat check. It just went, it was D-E-A-D. It was like dead on arrival. It wasn't. I don't know how that one would be an intro. I appreciate the submission on that one, but that's really not introducing the show. That's kind of like a background play for something. That one we're going to have to send back to the drawing board. We're looking for something that introduces the podcast. I don't know if I want something that has me talking in it, but good submission regardless. Thanks for submitting it. I appreciate it. But I think we're going to put that one on the back burner for now. And here comes David's podcast promo, and check this out.
Okay, chaps, settle down now, settle down. Just had a message in from a man in London about a brand new podcast called I Confess I'm a Geek.com, with lots of reviews about gadgets, TVs, and those newfangled computer thingies. Yes, it's happening every Friday. And don't you know it, there's lots of stuff about British shopping as well. Well, that's all for me.
All right, Dean, definitely got to critique it. Bring the background music down and it'll be perfect. Reduce it so we can hear you. But good first try. Send me the updated one when you get it ready, okay? And any of the other podcasters out there, feel free to send your promos in to the show. Okay, let's go ahead and get into the voicemail comments, and then we'll actually give this gift certificate away to a winner here in just a second. Hey, Todd, I have some comments about some of the topics on previous podcasts about the AP. Oh, I actually read this one already. We got to move on. Let's keep moving this up. All right. Ken and Linda. Nope. Sorry. California wasn't the one with the most listeners. Russ. Nope. Sorry. Your guess on Illinois was definitely not correct either. And, good. I'm glad you liked the stats upgrade, by the way. Hey, Eric, thanks for your feedback on the article from louderback.com. I'll have this up in the show notes. Everyone, this is an article that talks about Rupert Murdoch taking lessons from a different industry that's out there. So I'll have this link up in the show notes. I want to thank Brian for his entry. Sorry, California wasn't the big one. New York wasn't it either, Bruce. Shane, California wasn't either. Michael, yes, congratulations. You are the one that we picked for the winner. You picked Texas, yes. Texas is the state, and I know you're from Maryland, and no, Maryland definitely wasn't the right answer, and I would have loved to have been able to say it was, because you said if it was Maryland, you were going to throw yourself into the Inner Harbor. You know, why don't we videotape that anyway? You want to do that? It's, you know, we can show that. How dedicated are you on as a fan, Michael? You know, the gift certificate I send you, the Visa gift certificate, will pay for your dry cleaning. Hey, thanks for Michael for his submission, and you can find him at deadairpodcast.com. Congratulations to Michael. Thanks for everyone else that submitted. I'll go through some other submissions here as we move through, but Russ sent me an email. He said, hey, Todd, Here's a very nice tool for searching Bing and Google at the same time. Using the center scroll bar keeps them tied together. Also, this works great on a widescreen LCD. I personally like to right-click on links and choose open a new tab. Also, have you played with the bird's eye view maps in Bing Maps? No, I haven't. She says, very nice. You can do this at bing-vs-google.com. Link will be up in the show notes for all of you. Nick, no, Hawaii, definitely very small listenership here in Hawaii. If you are a listener in Hawaii, I'd love to hear from you guys, and we'll have to have a meetup. But there's not that many that listen to the show here. Got an email from Bree. She says, and of course, Bree's a longtime listener of the show. She says, Todd, with so many people sending bogus facts about every government initiative and official, it is difficult to separate the lies and mischaracterizations from the truth. I know that most people here at GSA IT who work with Vivek Kundra respect him for everything I've heard. I thought I would go to Wikipedia rather than send you some government article, which you may feel is biased. So check it out here. And this is about our USA CIO, who we talked about in the last show, who was accused of having some flaky credentials by Dvorak, which I think has been pretty much at this point in time dispelled. Hey, Max, yeah, you got it right. Tex, my friend. I had put you and three or four other listeners in the hat, and we had pulled Michael's name. You got it right, my friend. Consolation prize of getting it right for sure. Got an email from Trucker Tom saying, hey, Todd, building block of life found on a comet. Yes, comet. He gives me a link to an article on Reuters to talk about the amino acid glycine found on a comet that we have recently visited. Yeah, I think this is what it was. How did they actually? Oh, they retrieved it from the tail of the comet of Wild 2 by the NASA spacecraft Stardust Deep. That happened in 2004. Remember that? That's a long time ago. But they found the building blocks of life on that comet. Pretty cool. Another email from Trucker Tom talks about exploding iPhones, isolated incident, say Apple. You know, even just one exploding iPhone is too isolated for me. You know, have that in your exploding. If you had an iPhone that exploded while it was in your pocket, or for ladies, if it was in your purse, it'd like ruin your day, wouldn't it? And another email from Trucker Tom talking about Reader's Digest plans prearranged bankruptcy. How many of you still subscribe to the Reader's Digest? I remember as a kid reading the Reader's Digest. And I think my mom had them in the throne room, if you would say. But I guess they're in trouble here. So, you know, this has been a staple of dentist office, bathrooms, you name it, for generations. But major trouble in the land of Reader's Digest. Cody, thank you for your entry. You also guessed Texas, so you got a consolation prize of a thank you for submission. And we kind of figured out at the very end of the last show, and I've gotten two or three of these from audience members, but a railroad sleeper, or what we call here in the United States, railroad ties. So we talked about that possible UFO incident where it burned and there was smoldering railroad ties next to a cemetery. Well, that is what they are called. Railroad ties are the equivalent of railroad sleepers. He also says, hey, Todd, don't forget the Lahaina Railroad when you state that you don't have any in Hawaii. There may be others. Well, it is a tourist. It used to be a railroad. The ties and the tracks are still there, and they go about 3 miles an hour down it, pulling once a week. They pull some people and take them on a little ride. So I guess we do have a rail here, but traditional rail being something that is effective for mass transit, we currently don't have, but they're trying to shove a $9 billion system down our throats here over the next couple of years, which the state can't afford. But so we actually may have mass transit rail at some point. I got an email from Jim. He said, hey, this is so cool. Follow instructions under how it works. You need to fire up your Mac for this. Works with Google Earth, and it's at rsites.com. So if you that are Mac users out there, check out arsites.com. Hey, Yitz, thank you for your intro on Texas as well. I got an email from Sabir. He's sent me your attempt for the GNC intro. Thanks for that. I appreciate it. I got an email from Edward. Nope, Ohio wasn't it, as we found out. Also, Martin, California. Nope. I got an email from Joe. He says, hey, oops, not for publication. So I'll have to, well, he says, well, maybe. I'll have to get back to you on that, on Joe, and actually answer that privately in email. Almost started reading that. Got an email from Peter. Says, hey, just finished listening to show 503 in the car. I'm not sure exactly why, but it was a great show. I'll go back to the site and check out the new camera shots, too. Two additional comments. It's pronounced Misagawa. For your 1,000th show, I haven't – oh, this is your prediction. Well, but we're not going to share your prediction, Peter. Norm, thanks for the intro submissions. Trucker Tom sent me another one on the Internet Detox Center, which we already talked about earlier in the show. And I got an email from my good friend Andy McCaskey, and he says if you are using the iPhone plug-in Stitcher, be aware of this. While you can listen to podcasts with Stitcher, if you're listening to a podcast and your phone rings, it won't interrupt. You will miss calls, okay? So any of you that are using Stitcher, be aware of that, okay? Same thing watching YouTube. If you're watching YouTube videos and your phone rings, you'll miss your call. It'll be sent straight to voicemail. It's one of the two apps that we have found that basically don't interrupt and let you know to answer your phone. So be aware of that. David H., resend that intro with the levels a little lower. Got an email, another email from Jim. He said, this story, which you really posted at Macworld, has been recommended. He says, 18 service may actually be getting better. Well, maybe for some people, but not here. And Joe, yes, you continue to be in the running, my friend, for having the replacement intro here at GNC. Okay, wow, perfect timing. We're at the end of the show, folks. As always, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is +1-619-342-7365. Probably will kick off a new promotion on the next show. And again, going to be in San Jose, Mountain View next week. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. The Thursday show probably, or the Friday show of next week, may be a little bit late getting out, depending on when I get home here in Honolulu. But we're having a meeting up on Tuesday or Wednesday out there. So I hope that those of you that live in the general area, what would that be, San Francisco to Salinas, come on out to hang out, and we'll have dinner. And hopefully someone that's living in the area will give me a suggestion on where we all should meet up. And I've been to Silicon Valley in a while, so I need to get schooled up. I just need to go online, find something. But we'll probably pick some type of a neutral restaurant that is where everyone can get something they like. I'd love to do sushi, but not everyone likes sushi, so we'll pick something more traditional. But as always, hey, send your comments, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. Call the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. Hey, thanks for hanging out with the show with me here. We appreciate it. And until next time, aloha.